Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Feige, let's hit him big time.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez. Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Don't know how, but we made it. Yes, 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 we did make it. It is finally game day. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for the OG, Figgy Fig here, 9 hours, 17 minutes till kickoff. Before we break it down, Smitty, we got to hop back on that roller coaster, and oh my, was it a roller coaster.
Hey, it is a little roller coaster going on, but you know what? We are here. There's a lot of places that we went, and we're going to go through them. But the day is here. It's Thursday. It's Thursday night football. It's opening of the NFL season, Texans Chiefs. You got to love it.
Before we appreciate and we soak in the greatness of a Texans game day, in order to appreciate where you are, you got to remember where you came from. And let's go back to January 12th, 2020. Kansas City, the destination of tonight's game. Texans on top 24-0. And then the ish hit the fan and they suffered the most heartbreaking loss in franchise history.
Mahomes takes a knee. It is over. The Houston Texans lose in the divisional round to Kansas City, 51-31. The campaign comes to an end as the Texans, AFC South champions, bow out in the divisional round to the Chiefs.
Golden opportunity, Wade. You had a chance to host the old Oilers in the AFC Championship. Did not happen. Texans with an opportunity to go up 2-0 on the Chiefs in the series. Did not happen. You take the L. We go into an offseason that would be very active, but there was a lot of uncertainty.
A lot of uncertainty, and I tell you what, man, you couldn't get a lower feeling than what you felt after that loss, because you were on the highest of highs, up 24-0 on the road in Arrowhead, and then you ended up with the lowest of lows. But you know what? You live to fight another day. You live again to fight another day.
Shout out to John Witherspoon. Rest in peace. Now, you said you couldn't go any lower as a Texans fan. Or could you? Because 16 days later, after that loss in Kansas City, Bill O'Brien was named the general manager of the Houston Texans. We already knew he was calling the shots, but it became official. Here was John Lopez's reaction to B.O.B. being named the GM of the Houston Texans.
The Texans no longer are an enigma in terms of who needs to be most accountable and who's responsible for what this team does. We've called Bill O'Brien King Bill. We can now call him what he is. He is the general manager and the head coach. He is the guy.
So you lose to Kansas City. 16 days later, the king is officially crowned. The crown is put on the head of Bill O'Brien. We were calling for it from Cal McNair. Cal McNair made it official. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. He put a ring on the finger of Bill O'Brien. And then, as if things hadn't already been interesting in 2020, they got even more interesting. Because less than 2 months later, March 16th, the first move, significant move from King Bill O'Brien happens. a trade was made. Initially, that trade, it seemed like it was just a small one. They were getting a running back. Surely they were getting salary relief for David Johnson from Arizona. Here's the initial reaction from Landry Locker and John Lopez.
Houston Texans are acquiring David Johnson from the Cardinals. I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans weren't getting a draft pick back from the Cardinals for David Johnson. Mm. So you're either going to have the Arizona Cardinals likely paying some of the salary for David Johnson, or I don't think it'll be Brock Osweiler-like where you're getting a second-round pick.
The Texans want draft equity.
David Johnson had a very bad contract with the Arizona Cardinals. He's had some all-pro-type seasons, or a season. And I would be surprised if the Texans really had to give up anything in order to get David Johnson.
I think they're going to eat some of his salary and get a draft pick because his salary cap hit was significant. Keep this in mind too, Landry. We don't know the terms yet. We're going to find those out here, I'm sure, pretty soon.
Yes, we would find out the terms, Wade Smith.
Found out the terms, and I tell you what, everybody in this city was sick. And you know what? Things got worse before they got better.
This is per Adam Schefter. DeAndre Hopkins is going to Arizona as part of the David Johnson deal. John Lopez, you look sick to your stomach. Talk to me, please. I am in shock. I am in shock. I'm shaking. And I am in shock.
I wish
shock
we had
a live
beep button because that was the first thought that came. What the? What's going on? What's going on here?
Well, here's what was going on. Here was more of how we got here. The climax of emotion for Houston Texans fans.
You just traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals. You got David Johnson back, and you're paying him $16 million. What the hell are you thinking?
There's got to be a first-round pick involved. I will say that.
I don't care.
I'm just telling you.
You can give me two first-round picks.
There's going to be a first-round pick involved in this trade. That's the one thing I can promise you. There will be a first-round pick. There has to be, John.
Nope.
I don't care. John.
This is Bill O'Brien fumbling. This is horrible for the Houston Texans.
John, it's the snowball effect of the Tunsil trade. You've been defending the Tunsil trade, and now all of a sudden you're trading DeAndre Hopkins. We think for draft picks. Hell, with the way things are going right now, it might be 5 minutes and all of a sudden we're talking about it's just a straight-up trade or something like that.
This is. I mean, I don't know how to put it. You hate to go personal on a guy, but this is just stupid. I mean, you can do whatever you want. John McClain now.
Texans breaking news.
It became official. Here is the reaction as we relive how we got to this wonderful moment today. We got to relive it one last time. Here is the reaction to the official compensation of the nuke trade.
Are these all mock accounts? This is the trade that John McClain is reporting now. DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick go to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second round pick this year and a fourth round pick next year. I'm sorry, man. This is just dumb. DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick go to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second this year and a fourth next year. That's the trade. Somebody please tell me how you got better. That's the deal. I've seen a lot of weird stuff in this town over the last 31 years. I've seen a lot of general managers stumble all over themselves. Hell, I've seen a general manager moon a wedding party at a hotel, and I haven't seen anybody show their ass like this.
Then we go to free agency. Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Eric Murray added to the team. Ross Blacklock added to the team. Zach Cunningham paid. Laremy Tunsil paid. Deshaun Watson paid. Sprinkle in a little pandemic, canceled OTAs, a canceled training camp pretty much, or a shortened training camp, and here we are. I don't know how we did it. It was an emotional roller coaster, Wade Smith, but my gosh, we made it. Texans versus Chiefs. 9 hours and 9 minutes away.
I tell you what, man, it is the best feeling in life to understand that now there is a ball game coming up tonight, the Texans and the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. We came through a lot. We went through, you listened to the reaction to everything that transpired here in Houston with the organization. But you know what? Now we actually have football right before us. And it's the best feeling that you can have, man. The anxiousness, the anxiety, the anticipation, the excitement, the pure joy that we have football tonight, you got to love it.
You got to love it. And there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. We're going to go live to Kansas City at 10:40. John McClain's going to give us a weather report as well as the latest on Brandon Cooks, who we don't know if he's going to play. Apparently, he's made a lot of progress in the last 24 hours. Per James Palmer of NFL Network, he's got that injured quad. So we'll see if Brandon Cooks is on the field. We know that the Chiefs are going to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire and all the familiar faces in the mix. Texans are going to have three coordinators making their debut, special teams, defense, and offense. I'm interested to see how Anthony Weaver is going to attack this Chiefs offense. And one of the best defensive coordinators of all time, Wade Phillips, I almost said Wade Smith. Wade Phillips is going to join the show at 11:30 to break it down, just talk about how exactly you attack that. We are going to get you ready for game day. The two best words that you can really say in this business. Didn't know if we were going to be able to say it, but it is here. And sprinkle in some Astros at 3:40, some Rockets at 6 o'clock, and you have one of the most active sports days in the history of this city. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for the OG, Figgy Fig with you. The table has been set, 713-572-4610, if you want to get in. It is a game day here on Sports Radio 610, and let's just do it. Let's break it down. Let's break down this game. We got new faces, we got familiar faces, and we got a lot of moving parts. Wade Smith, myself, we're going to break it down. There's a lot of stuff that is in the Texans' favor, but there's also a lot of obstacles in front of them as well. We're going to break down Texans versus Chiefs next.
My boy D. White in the Bentley truck. Oh, yeah. I see your boy. Hey, represent, baby. Yeah.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios, it's the kickoff countdown. We're less than 9 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's get into it. Let's break it down. Texans versus Chiefs. There's some new faces. There's some old faces. It is the Watson versus Mahomes trilogy. One question for you, Wade. Are you ready?
Hey, yeah, I'm ready, bro.
All right, let's break it down then.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
All right, Wade, let's start with the offense. Texans offense. It is life after DeAndre Hopkins. You got some new receivers. Let's assume that Brandon Cooks has made progress and he's going to be in the lineup. What can we expect from this new-look Texans offense? Most importantly, what should we see from this Texans offense, first-year play caller Tim Kelly?
Well, what you can expect is them spreading the ball around. You got multiple receivers that are dependable guys as far as being veteran presences that can make plays in the pass game. You got a new running back in David Johnson, so you know he's going to be heavily utilized in this ball game. You got your tight ends that are returning that have been solid over the years with Jordan Akins and Darren Fells, and so you can expect Deshaun Watson to be dealing to multiple targets. There's not going to be a situation where you know there's going to be one guy that's going to have a huge game. I wouldn't expect that at all. But I will tell you this, what they should be doing is focusing on the two Johnson, and that's Duke and that's David. Those two guys heavily need to be involved in what goes on in this ball game. They're going to have to touch the ball, I believe, 35 times a game. If they can touch the ball 35 times in the game, that's whether they're catching passes out of the backfield or lining up at wide receiver and catching passes in that manner, screens, draws, just straight up handoffs. If they can touch the ball 35 times, that's the key to the Texans getting a victory against the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, you just mentioned spreading the rock out. Here is Brandon Cooks, who's still questionable. He's going to be a game-time decision tonight. Here's Brandon Cooks talking about what you just said, relying on DeAndre Hopkins as much as the Texans have done and the new philosophy moving forward.
There's no question on why you want to continue to get the ball to him because he makes things happen. But now that what we have, I think we have so many special guys in this room that can do it all. When you're stacked on a team with multiple receivers, you have a better chance of winning consistently and going far because you can never just key on one guy. And I think that unselfishness in the room is going to do us justice in the long run, for sure.
Now, you also have a very thin Chiefs secondary. It's easy to gas up the Chiefs offense. I mean, I don't know what to tell you when it comes to talking about the Chiefs offense. It's a damn good offense, and I think when going against this Texans defense, it's easy to gas them up. It's just the reality of the situation. But their secondary is nothing to write home about. Even Tyrann Mathieu has his flaws in coverage. Will Fuller got behind him a few times when the teams met week six of the 2019 season, dropped the passes, but he got behind him. They're also going to have Breland out because he likes that Marahucci, and he also likes to ride dirty with it. Shout out to Chameleonaire. But the Texans receivers can't eat off of this Chiefs secondary. As much as easy as it is to gas up maybe their defensive line, the offense, the Chiefs offense, Texans receivers with this speed and with the guys out of the backfield, they can definitely eat on this Chiefs secondary.
They for sure can. I understand if you're missing your starting corner, you're missing some of your defensive backs that would normally be out there. That's a situation you don't want to be in if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. And so as a Texan, and the fact that you put so much into your receiving core, you would think that's the way that you want to attack them and take advantage of what they have going on. I would caution against that approach and falling into that trap, because the Kansas City Chiefs know that their DBs are not what they would expect them to be because of injury, because of whatever reasons. And so with that being the case, they're going to try to protect those guys. And we'll talk to Wade Phillips about that later on in the show, and how he would go about protecting his DBs. But you also don't want to play into the Kansas City Chiefs' strength of rushing a passer when you're talking about Chris Jones or Frank Clark. And so dropping back and throwing the ball over the yard might not be the best approach. If you got bad DBs in the first quarter, they're going to be there in the second, the third, and the fourth as well. Let's open up the entire offense. Let's make sure that we get those running backs going and the tight ends going, to where when the damn receivers get going, now there's nothing that the Kansas City Chiefs can do to stop the Texans. So I would just be cautious about how much we want to force feed those receivers because of the weakness of the Kansas City Chiefs DB.
We're going to talk to Wade Phillips at 11:30, see how he would attack this if he were Anthony Weaver, one of the best of all time. Why not have him do it? Coaches have styles. A lot of coaches have styles. We don't know what Anthony Weaver's style is. We don't know what Tim Kelly's style is. So that's just another X factor to take into account with this. You mentioned that you mentioned Frank Clark and you mentioned Chris Jones. I know that there's a lot of stuff that has changed between the Texans and Chiefs heading into the Watson versus Mahomes trilogy as we break it down here on Sports Radio 610 during the world's longest pregame show, a world's biggest pregame show. But Chris Jones didn't play a snap last year against the Texans. And I get that the Texans won week six, but if you ranked the best players on the Kansas City Chiefs, Chris Jones is not appearing any lower than four on the list. He's arguably the best defensive tackle not named Aaron Donald in the entire NFL. So of all the things that have changed, I know you look at that Chiefs defense and you say, well, they can be had. You also got to take into account the two games you watched last year as a Texans fan. One of the best players in the game was not on the field.
No question about it. Those guys last year, the offensive line for the Texans, they game planned for Chris Jones because they weren't sure if he was going to be out there or not. But they never felt his presence. They never had to line up, put their hands in the dirt, and have to deal with him. Well, they're going to have to deal with him tonight. He's going to be there. He's going to be there 100% and 100% healthy. And Chris Jones coming off a fresh deal, he's going to have something to prove that, hey, I'm worth the money that I got. Chris Jones is an elite interior pass rusher. That's what he's elite at. He is the second best interior pass rusher in the NFL. Aaron Donald's number one, then you got Chris Jones. You don't want to play into his hands. He wants to be able to get after the quarterback. What you want to do to slow him down is to double team him and drive his ass off the ball. That's what you want to do with a guy like Chris Jones. So don't fall into the trap. Don't fall into the trap. Chris Jones, if he can rush the passer 30, 40 times in the game, he's going to love that. But if he has to sit in there and take double teams 30, 40 times in the game, he ain't gonna have enough time for that by the end of the game. He's not going to want to deal with that any further.
That's the offensive side for the Texans. There's a lot of opportunity, but there is one of the best players in the game that's going to be playing for the Texans for the first time in the last few years when we've been talking about this matchup between Mahomes and Watson. Now, we're going to get more into the D at 11:20, the Texans D. I mean, the question of the day, is the D stiff enough? is the Texans D stiff enough? Do they have enough Viagra to be able to
stiffen
and be able to hold up the Kansas City Chiefs? Wade, I'm going to need you to sell me on this defense because I don't feel great about the Texans defense as a whole, and I damn sure don't feel good about it going against one of the best offenses in the NFL without the luxury of being able to see the first running back selected in the draft on tape. It would have been hard regardless to stop the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Texans are at a disadvantage that no other team is going to be at because they have not seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the NFL level, so they have no idea how he's going to be used, and it's already a cram session, a headache for Anthony Weaver, even without that added element.
I tell you what, man, when you talk about the defense for the Texans, it's a lot of anticipation. There's a lot of blind faith that you're going to have to put in what's going on because there's so many new parts and there's so many new pieces. But we do know one thing. What the Texans defense did against the Kansas City Chiefs last year wasn't good enough. And so the fact that what they did last year and they're going to be doing something completely different this go around, that gives you an opportunity for some hope and for some blind faith that, hey, it's going to be a little bit better. I know we'll have more time throughout the show to talk about specifically what Anthony Weaver is going to do going forward. But I tell you this, the fact that they have gotten younger and they've gotten faster and they've gotten more athletic, more speed overall, that plays into to defending the Kansas City Chiefs at a better level than what you saw in years past. And so that's something to be excited about.
All right, so that's a breakdown with Wade Smith. 35 touches for Johnson and Johnson, an opportunity for the receivers, a potential nightmare with Chris Jones, and then some uncertainty at the defense. We'll try to get a little bit more into the D at 11:20. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for the OG Figgy Fig. It is game day here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Let's go out to Kansas City. Talk to NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. A special game day visit from John. We're going to get the latest on Brandon Cooks. We're also going to get a weather report. There are a lot of things that we need to know. John McClain's going to tell them next.
That's a great point, Landry.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez. We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
You look at all the trades, they all went for a first round, and this one going for a second round. I don't look at it as a negative at all. I'm a guy that adjusts pretty quick, and wherever I go, like I tell people, I'm going to ball, so I'm not worried about that.
All right, I like that confidence, Brandon Cooks. John McClain join us live from Kansas City. We'll get the latest on Brandon Cooks in just a sec. Wade Smith in for the OG. It is game day here on Sports Radio 6M. But before we do that, John, I know you're a Hall of Fame NFL writer. I know you can tell us anything about the good old pigskin, but I need you to put that weather report cap on. I need you to double as a weatherman. Give us a little weather report for what's going on out there in Kansas City.
Landry and Wade, I've looked all week at the weather report, and it said it was going to rain on Thursday, and it would rain at the game. And when I got to Kansas City last night, the weather report here said the rain had gone through. It'd be unusually cold, game time temperature 57 and a lot of wind. So I got up this morning, went outside to shoot a video with Brett Coomer and Aaron Wilson, and it's raining like crazy, and there's no wind. So all I know is it's supposed to be unusually cold with a high of 57, and maybe the rain will stop by game time and go on through. And when they renovated Arrowhead Stadium and they put in $250 million, they have a state-of-the-art drainage system. Wade knows this stadium very well. So I don't think it'll be an issue. If it is, I don't think it will negate the speed so much as both teams have a receiver, but more likely the DBs because they have to make such quick decisions. But hopefully it'll be dry by then. And just, you know, high 50s wouldn't be any big deal any other time of the year. But it's September, and it's supposed to get back up in the 90s later in the week.
Wow.
John, listen, Landry brought this up on Sunday, talking about the weather. I looked at him like he was crazy, like, come on, dog. We're talking about the first game of the season. It doesn't matter with the weather, and it's not going to be a big deal. Weather reports are wrong all the time. But as you're saying, and as have I been hearing approaching this day, that it's raining like a monsoon out there. If there was one team that you say that would take advantage of the fact that the weather is what it's going to be tonight, which team would that be, John?
Well, Kansas City, of course, is playing at home. They play in a lot of bad weather. The Texans don't. Both teams have really fast receivers, and they're hard enough to cover when DBs don't have to worry about slipping, when they got to make those quick cuts and back pedals and adjustments. So I would say it would benefit the Chiefs more. But there's so many good storylines here besides the weather. Of course, protesting before the games, what do they have planned? And there's a story about Charles Robinson, who lives in Houston, in Yahoo Sports this morning. The two teams that are selling tickets this weekend, Kansas City and Jacksonville, are having trouble selling the tickets. The Chiefs are going to let 17,000 in here, and you can buy really cheap tickets on the secondary market. And I guess it's because, you know, they don't expect a really good experience because they'll be spread out. But maybe they're expecting a walk-up or a late run on what tickets they have left. So I can't wait to see the crowd and see how they're dispersed. Our photographer, Brett Coomer, he'll be shooting for the first time in his life in the stands instead of on the sideline. John Harris from 610, he can't be on the sideline. He's going to have to be in the stands. They have them down low, and I would think that'd be a good angle, but I know Brett's not going to be able to move around like he will on a normal circumstance. So wherever you are, you got to shoot from there. And also, the Texans broadcast crew, led by Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware, they're here. They couldn't fly on the charter, and so they came on their own. And I believe that they're one of only four teams to send their broadcast crew on the road.
Boy, you are rich as hell, John McClain, because I'm looking at these tickets right now, and upper deck, worst seat you can get is $150. So that's really cheap, man. I need to get in.
Well, right
pockets.
Now they're down to $50 as recently as a few minutes ago if you want to get in the stadium. And ordinarily, when a team's coming off the Super Bowl, the tickets are being scalped because that first game back is such a big deal for the fans. But right now, there doesn't seem to be that much interest, and I'm guessing if it's still raining, that might tell some fans to stay at home.
The great John McClain with us live from Kansas City. So we got a weather report. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. Hopefully it dies down. We got an update on the ticket market, the experience. Let's go on the field. Brandon Cooks, he's got that sore quad. Can you give us the latest on a man that the Texans traded a second-round pick for? They're expecting some big things from wide receiver Brandon Cooks.
He's been very durable throughout his career. Last year, he had concussion issues. He missed two games. He's had this quad issue since the offseason, before he got to training camp. He was at practice most of the time. They were careful about what he did to try to help him get over it. But it's hard to get over an injury to a wheel if you're playing. So they're going to work him out before the game, I believe, and see if he's good to go. And I'm wondering, when you have a quad or a hamstring or groin injury, any of those, if indeed the field is wet, to me, that would be more likely to have him sit instead of play if it were a dry field.
John, is it worth it putting him out there with a quad injury? I mean, it's the first game of the season. You're telling me that he's been dealing with this issue for the most of this offseason. You play him in this game and he aggravates it worse, you might miss him for multiple weeks. Is this a scenario where you say, you know what, maybe we need to hold him off another week and allow him to get fully healthy so you can get a full 15 games out of him?
That's what I do. If there's any doubt, you know, keep him out. Now, they go by what the doctors say, the trainer, they go by what Brandon says. You know, he's a veteran. He knows the NFL. He knows his body. But you've got Kenny Stills. If you had Will Fuller and Kenny Stills outside and Randall Cobb inside, to go along with tight ends Darren Fells and Jordan Aiken, the running backs David and Duke Johnson, who are outstanding receivers, I would rest it. and not take that chance, because, you know, the old adage, it's not what you do in September and October, it's what you do in November and December.
Talking to John McClain live from Kansas City here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. What about the coordinators? How rare is it? You've covered this league for a long time. How rare is it? This is crazy to me, that you have a playoff team that has three new coordinators, and not only do you have three new coordinators, two of the three are still around the building kind of helping out the other two with Romeo Crennel and Bill O'Brien. How rare is that? Do you think this has ever happened?
It's rare. I don't know if it has. I asked Bill O'Brien about it. Usually you don't see a playoff team with two new play callers and three guys. Of course, Tim was the coordinator last year, but he's calling the plays for the first time. And if usually teams that have three new coordinators are bad and they have a new coach, or the owners made the coach fire coach assistants if he wants to keep his job. In this case, they've all been on the staff. Tracy Smith, it's his second year. His mentor, Brad Seeley, retired in the offseason. And so Kelly and Weaver have been with O'Brien at least 5 years. Kelly's been with him 9 years. And I ask O'Brien, you know, if as a longtime play caller, if he wishes he still did it, because they got a lot of talent on offense, he said, nope, it was time to turn it over to Kelly. And I thought it was interesting. Kelly was asked when he found out. He said, I found out when he told you guys, many in the media, at the combine. I remember when there was only about four of us talking to Bill outside the big media room before he went in to get interviewed by the masses. And the last question, I said, by the way, Bill, have you thought any more about having Tim Kelly call the plays? And he goes, Tim's going to call the plays. I decided Tim's going to call the plays. And like, whoa, that's a big story in Houston. And so Kelly said his phone blew up and he's wondering, oh, am I late for a meeting? Did I miss a meeting? And then he started looking, and that's how he found out. And, of course, he's happy and excited and confident, as is Anthony Weaver. They're pumped about the opportunity.
That's crazy. Here is Tim Kelly saying what you just said when he found out he was going to be calling plays this year.
Yeah, no, I found out when you guys found out at the combine. I was in my hotel room in Indy when he came out and made that public, and I was really excited. My phone started to blow up. I thought something was wrong, or I thought I was missing a meeting, because all of a sudden you get all these, you know, floods of text messages, and I was like, oh no, what am I missing? So, I was really excited, and then immediately my mind kind of went to like, okay, how do I get ready to do this? How do I get ready to put Deshaun in the best position possible and to try to put this team in the best position to win as many games as possible?
Is that not kind of weird? I mean, I know that good for him, but is that not kind of weird that Bill O'Brien, who won't even tell you if someone sprained their ankle in practice, is telling the media before he tells a guy that's been with him 10 years that he's calling plays?
Well, he wouldn't have told us if I hadn't asked him the question. It was the last question before he had to go, and I didn't go in thinking to ask him. It just one of those things that popped up. So I'm guessing he was going to tell him later, but also he could have been asked that question in front of 100 media people. So I'm glad he told us, and I tell you, O'Brien is still heavily involved in everything. If Kelly, we asked Kelly about who he could lean on. He said O'Brien, Carl Smith, longtime offensive coordinator, who's offensive consultant. John Perry was an offensive coordinator in college, the receivers coach. And then, of course, Anthony Weaver can lean heavily on Romeo Crennel, who's right there. I had an interesting question today in my mailbag that runs on Friday.
Oh, I love that.
We ran it today because of the game tonight. And I had a question that said, which coordinator did I think would be the most successful? And I said, this season, I think it'll be Tim Kelly because he's got Deshaun Watson. He's got an offensive line back intact. He's got more talent. And I said, and defensively, Anthony Weaver has a much tougher task. He took over a defense that was basically awful last season, and it's amazing they still got to the second round of the playoffs. And I think this upcoming offseason is when they will target the defense to add more talent. But just this season, I said, Kelly.
John, when you say you have to grade those two coordinators on the curve, when you look at the amount of talent that is on the defensive side of the ball when compared to the offensive side of the ball, and you talk about the expectations for what you're going to get out of this year's offense and this year's defense, when you have to grade that on a curve and say, you know, Anthony Weaver might have the 15th ranked defense in the NFL, and that's better than Tim Kelly having the 10th best offense.
That's a great observation, Wade. I think people have higher expectations for the offense because of Deshaun Watson, and the expectations are lower because of how bad the defense was last season. I think if the defense can go from 29th and being across the board bad against the run, worst in the league, and in the red zone, terrible on third down, 31 sacks, I would think if the defense could be in the top half of the NFL, that would be a huge improvement, where if the Texans were in the top 10, it would be good, but people would say, well, that's what I thought.
All right, I'll say this right now, and this is in honor of the great John McClain. John McClain joining us live from Kansas City. If the Texans' defense is in the top half of the league, I will eat the newspaper, just like you once did. I will eat the newspaper like the great John McClain did. Mark that, Figgy.
I remember there was a former co-host at 610 who said when Wade Phillips got here, if they finished, I think, in the top five, he would shave his head. And they finished two under Wade, and he had to shave his head.
Well, I'll eat the newspaper. John McClain with us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. We're going to get into leg hiking in a sec, but we got something really cool going on this week during the world's biggest pregame show. John, I know this means a lot to you. I know it means a lot to you as well, Wade. Throughout the week, we're teaming up with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and their My Home Library campaign. 61% of low-income families in Houston don't have a single book in their house. And because of that, 60% of kids that go into kindergarten and start school, they're fighting an uphill battle. They're not where they should be. So a $30 donation gets a kid six books of their choice. So it gets them excited about reading the books. It gets their collection started, and it makes them, or at least decreases the chances of them becoming just another statistic. The other good news is that Phillips 66, they're teaming up with us so that we can reach our $100,000 goal. Phillips 66 is matching every dollar donated. In order to donate, all you got to do is text HTX Reads, that's HTX Reads, to 41444. That's HTX Reads to 41444. You can make a huge difference in kids' lives, Wade. I know you do this all the time. You work with the kids. This is something that's very close to your heart.
No question about it. And the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and the Wade Smith Foundation have done some amazing things over the years. And this whole My Home Library campaign has been something that they've been doing for years now. And when you get to see a kid's face, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to see these kids' faces when they're actually choosing the books, when you're going into the classrooms, you're going into the school rooms, the school buildings, and they're getting to choose the books and the excitement on their faces, it's amazing. And so you guys listening right now are thinking to yourself, I'm going to give $30, I'm going to give $60, $100, whatever it may be. But you're actually changing someone's life. You're changing a child's perspective on life. You're opening up opportunities for them that they otherwise wouldn't have had. So if you have the ability to do so, please do. It changes kids' lives. It's the reason why I do what I do each and every day, is to see these kids feel like that they can be something that maybe otherwise they wouldn't have been. And it starts at home. It starts with being able to have books, accessible books, and have the opportunity to choose which ones you get. And so that's what you get with this My Home Library campaign with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation.
And your money goes twice as far. Again, 41444 is all you got to text. The number 41444, HTX Reads. They'll ask you what your donation is, and you will get kids a head start instead of making them just another statistic. Courtesy of the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and Sports Radio 610. And don't forget, your money goes twice as far because Phillips 66 is matching every donation. Let's go back out to KC with John McClain, a game day edition of world famous McClain leg hiking next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.